And what's the greater blessing of it? Some of them have been back more than once. They don't all say a whole lot. I mean, begin to preach on standards and this and that. A lot of them have a tendency to be far gone. We appreciate them being here tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, please. Thessalonians and chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may God add His blessing to that verse of Scripture. And we're going to do our best to preach here in just a second. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the privilege we have to be back in God's house this night. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing, the good fellowship, the good spirit. Thank you for the good morning hour and your visitation with us during that time. Thank you what you're doing in hearts, what you've done in my heart, what you've done in my wife's heart, the church I trust. I pray that you'll continue to do a great work within us, Lord, to revive us, that we might once again rejoice in Thee. I ask you, Lord, tonight to speak to those that may be here without God, without hope, they're lost. I pray that you'd open their understanding, enlighten their minds, their hearts, and help them, I pray, to realize the sacrifice of Jesus is for them personally. And Lord, you're no respecter of persons. What you've done for one, you'll do for another. I pray tonight for the power of God. I need that power of the Spirit of God. And I'd ask you tonight, Lord, to grant me the liberty and help me as I try to preach. Keep our minds alert and attentive. Keep our hearts upon Thee. And I pray, Lord, that You'd bless every home and every family heart that's represented here tonight. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. And I'm sure that everybody that's here tonight has not been here In the last 2 weeks that I preached on out of this verse of Scripture. But in those studies, we mentioned, one, the companions in labor that was in finding the church at Thessalonica. And we said a little bit about Paul and a little bit about Silas or Silvanus. And then a little bit about Timothy or Timotheus. And these men labored together in starting that church at Thessalonica. And then we mentioned about the church's position. I think that is a wonderful thing for you and I to get a hold of. That they are in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not only in God, they're in God the Father. They're not only in the Lord, but they're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And each one of those names typifies some special virtue about the Lord and about God the Father that adds to the confidence that you and I can have in them. There is no safer place tonight for a sinner to be than to be in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that way back in 1970 I found a safe haven of rest for my soul. And God birthed me into His family. And not only did Jesus take up His abode in me, but I took up my abode in Him. And my life is hid with Him in God. And I want to thank Him and praise Him for that kind of security tonight. But tonight I want to look at the last part of this verse. I want to look at a couplet of blessings, or two blessings that are coupled together. Two wonderful divine graces that are coupled together. He said in the last part of this verse, grace unto you. What a great virtue the grace of God is. And not only grace, but he said peace. And again, that is from God the Father. And it's also from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say that grace and peace are wonderful, blessed, spiritual virtues for you and I to enjoy today. The good grace of God and the peace not only with God, but the peace of God that passes all understanding to our heart. And so I want to preach on that couplet, how He took these two wonderful graces and coupled them together to make such a wonderful blessing for those of us that have been saved by the good grace of God. Now, Paul uses these words, grace and peace, in all of his other epistles except in the book of Hebrews. But when you come to Titus and to Timothy, he adds another word to those two. Rather than just grace and peace, Paul writes in those mercy, grace, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And someone has said that this trio of blessings may represent the love of God in action. I want to say again tonight, as I said this morning, that God did not just say, "I love you," and then do nothing about it. But God said He loved the world, and in loving the world, He sent His only begotten Son into the world that He might be crucified at the hands of sinful men to become a sin-bearer and a substitute for you and I. We should have been crucified, but our Lord was crucified in our place. He is our sin-bearer. He carried our sins all the way up Calvary's brow, and there became our substitute and sin-bearer on the cross, offering His life a ransom for our souls. I want to say in like manner that no man took His life from Him. He said Himself, "I have the power to lay my life down, I have the power to take it up again." Boy, I'll tell you, isn't that wonderful to know tonight that the very God of creation that created everything that is in this world, even the breath that you and I breathe tonight, that very God came all the way from glory and was born of a virgin that He might grow up and be a sinless Lamb of God, taking our sins upon us, dying in our place for those that should have been crucified, and yet God was crucified in our place. What love! I'm going to tell you, friend, that is love in action. My mind hardly can comprehend the fact to know that God would die for me. I don't have a problem knowing that God would die for some people. I've seen some people that are just kind and they're gentle and they're loving people, even from their childhood on up to their old age. But I'm telling you, I wasn't that way. I was a rebel rouser. I was one of the chief sinners, you might say. I was a sinful and wretched and miserable man. But God yet loved me with the same love that He loved them. And thanks be unto His name when He came to me on that wonderful Sunday morning where I was and arrested my soul, hung me out over hell and showed me I was going there and ought to be in hell with my neck broke. But the blessed Holy Spirit turned me around and pointed my soul toward the cross. And I looked up in the lovely face of the suffering Son of God. And God delivered me on that wonderful day. What a great God we have this morning tonight. I want to praise Him. That is love in action. God doing what He did not have to do. What marvelous love. And then I want to go on to say that grace is love bestowing favors upon the undeserving. There's not a deserving soul in here tonight. I know some of you are wonderful people, but there's not a man, woman, boy, or girl in here tonight that deserves to go to heaven. If we had what we deserve tonight, we'd all be in hell. Now, I'm going to tell you what the problem some people is. They are so proud, my friend, and stiff-necked and hard-hearted that they cannot see themselves that way. Oh, well, I'm too good to go to hell. No, I'm going to tell you that's the problem. You're so good, that's where you are going is to hell. God does not save good people. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. He come to call sinners to repentance. I'm telling you, we're all sinners out of the loins of Adam. In Adam all die, but in Christ are all made alive. Bless His wonderful name. That's right. If we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell tonight. Hadn't He been gracious? You know it has. How many close calls? I think so much today, especially again on Saturday, now on yesterday, about 911 or 911, whatever you want to call it. And I thought again about those terrorists and what they did to our country. But I'll tell you, my mind raced back to other times, ladies and gentlemen, that stand out very vivid in the thoughts that I have tonight. Of times that I spent especially in Vietnam, and at least three times over there, I came within inches of meeting the Lord. And had I met Him over there, I would have died in Vietnam and went to hell. But oh, for the grace of God and the providence of God that brought me back to a place where I could hear the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a God we have tonight. What grace He's bestowed. What love He's given you and I tonight. That He would love us enough to die in our place and we ought to be in hell. And He died for us. And I thought about how close I come to being in hell. Had it not been for the providence of God, I'd have been there too, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Grace is bestowing favor upon the undeserving. And mercy is love receiving the penitent. Mercy. Delivering you from a rock and a hard spot. I want to say that sin, ladies and gentlemen, had us all pushed up against a hard spot. And that hard spot was the very judgment and wrath of Almighty God. You better believe it, friend. I'll tell you, the wrath of God abideth upon an unbelieving soul tonight. But it was mercy. It was the mercy of God that came to where I was when I could not get to Him. It was mercy that bestowed that grace and that love upon this penitent sinner and received me unto Himself. What about a God like that that not only saves us but receives us? Amen. We have access by this faith in this grace wherein we stand tonight and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Woo! I'm glad He received sinful men. Aren't you glad? They accused Him in Luke 15. They said, why, that bunch of Pharisees and religious crowd that day said, why, He received sinners and sits in fellowship with sinners. Aren't you glad that He does? I'm glad that every now and then He shows up in a little Baptist church and fellowship with sinners and communicates with sinners. And every now and then He'll reach down and save an old sinner by His wonderful grace. That's sitting there. I think of Miss Wendy back there. Got saved on my birthday in our camp meeting a few years back, October the 3rd. I think of so many of you. I think of the morning Miss Patty got saved. I wouldn't have thought anybody could have got saved that day. I mean, it was in a Donnybrook. They was trying to run me off. And about half of them got run off. But she still come that morning and got saved in the midst of it all. That tells me there is no problem too great for God. As the lady sang, is there anything too hard for our God? I tell you, there is nothing that shall be impossible with God. God can come to an old sinner wherever he may be if he's got a repentant spirit about him and save him by the marvelous grace. Amen and amen. And so that mercy is love receiving the penitent. And peace is love in communion with the believer. That's right. Peace is love in communion with the believer. I'm glad that God's love communicates with my heart tonight. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how do you know you're God's child? Because the Holy Ghost that communes with my heart. That's right. And my spirit bears witness with Him that I am a child of God tonight. Hallelujah for the blessed Spirit of God that dwells within our bosom, that communes with us and fellowships with us. It's that Spirit that communed with your heart back there this morning, ladies, that brought you out of that back room with tears in your eyes and snot running out of your nose, is pardon the expression. And the reason it was is because the Holy Ghost grabbed a hold of your heart back there and broke your heart and reminded you that you was God's child. Reminded you that you was a sinner. Reminded you that you ought to be lost. Reminded you that you ought to be in hell. And yet it was that same love back there that gripped your heart and reminded you of just how much God loved you. I'm going to tell you, if He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not by Him freely give us all things, what the Bible says. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I want you to notice something. I want you to notice how these two blessings are coupled together. He said, grace be unto you and. That, I believe that little three-letter word is a conjunction, isn't it? And I believe conjunctions join two equal structures. Is that right? And so it's joining grace and peace. And I want to say right here, ladies and gentlemen, as far as a sinner and his salvation is concerned, they cannot be separated. I want to run that by you again. It is grace and peace. They cannot be separated. And notice also that it's grace and then peace. You cannot have peace unless you have grace. If you know grace, you'll know peace. And if you have no grace, you'll have no peace. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with our world. And they're wringing their hands and worrying about terroristic threats and what's going to happen in the world and worrying about the stock market and this and that. It's because they have no peace in their heart. And they have no peace in their heart because they have no grace in their soul. Amen. Grace and peace be to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. But He couples those things together. What a wonderful God that we have tonight. I want to say that grace is the cause of peace, and peace is a result of grace. Grace is the root of peace, and peace is the flower of grace. Amen. If you have grace in your heart, the result of that grace will be peace ruling and reigning in your heart. Hallelujah. Where's the flowers at in here tonight? The grace is the root that reaches out and literally gets hold of the heart of God and sets itself in the heart of God. And the production of that grace is the flower that blooms in our life. For God's glory. I wonder how many of us is blooming tonight. My wife told somebody the other day, or somebody told her the other day, said, I've been hearing your husband preach. He said, did you know that you have a real flower for a husband? She said, I know it, a blooming idiot. Now, that really didn't happen. I just need to get somebody's attention. But grace is the cause of peace. Peace is the result of grace. Grace is the root of peace. And peace is the flower of grace. The peace of God is known as the grace of God reigns in your heart. Amen. I will say, hey, and I'm going to tell you what, if you've ever experienced grace, you will have grace. Amen. And if you have grace, you will show grace to those around you. Amen. What did I just say grace was? It is God loving the undeserving. Amen. And grace in our life as it's multiplied is you and I loving those that do not deserve it. Amen. When God said, love your enemies, it takes a little grace to do that, ladies and gentlemen. Amen and amen. Amen. To love those that would oppose themselves. To love those that would criticize you. To love those that would oppose you. To love those that would fight against you. It takes a whole lot of grace. And if that grace is riding in there, you'll have a calm tranquility in your heart all the time that transaction is taking place. That's right. If it had been left up to me and my flesh, I'd have killed some of y'all a long time ago. And I would imagine if it had been left up to you, you'd have killed me a long time ago. But I'm going to tell you, grace will do a wonderful thing. And it can reign in the heart. What's reigning in your heart? Grace or your flesh? Grace or the world? Grace or sin? There is something that reigns every heart of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's ever been brought into this world. And I'm going to tell you, if grace reigns, love will flow, ladies and gentlemen. That's why people can't get along. That's why there's fighting and quarreling. That's why countries can't get along. That is why churches can't get along. That is why homes and families can't get along. There's not much grace. And because there's no grace, there's no love. And I'm going to tell you, without love, it will certainly fade away someday. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. And charity is the outworking of love. The cross is a sign of charity. God loved and God gave, but it's charity in the cross of our Lord Jesus. Is everybody with me now? Peace is the result of communion with grace. Notice this. This is what David Brainerd said this. He said, filling up our time with and for God. Don't nobody miss this. Filling up our time with and for God is the best way to rise up and lie down in peace. So filling up our time with God is the way to find peace. When I went to Greenville, South Carolina, I told my wife, I mean, they had something going on every night at the church. If it wasn't a school night, it was a prayer meeting night. I thought surely they'd give us a night off of school. We went to school Monday and Tuesday, prayer meeting Wednesday. Went to school on Thursday and Friday. On Saturday morning, they had visitation or something else, and then right back in church on Sunday. And I said, this old man's going to kill us all. But I learned, ladies and gentlemen, if we will fill up our time with God, it keeps our minds on God, and those whose minds are stayed upon the Lord will have perfect peace in their hearts. Are you listening? Now, I'm going to tell you why some of you don't have the peace you used to have. You're doing very little for God anymore. Our minds, our lives is occupied with everything but God. Everything but the service of God. If I had my way about it and I could stand it, I'd preach every morning and every night, 7 days a week. Amen! That's right. I don't think we could all handle it. But I'm telling you, hey, if you don't keep these children, these young kids that's in the church that are growing up, and we got some young teenagers growing up, I'm telling you, if we don't toggle away to keep them busy for God, I'll guarantee you they'll fill up their life with something outside of God. And they'll know nothing about the grace of God, nothing about the peace of God, nothing about the love of God. They'll know everything there is to know about the world. Comic books and funny papers, amusement parks, them stupid machines. I can't stand them stupid things. I'd like to drop a grenade in all of them. Kids in there, them see them stupid monsters raise up on them. We wonder what's wrong with our young people. Well, you raise them on Dungeons and Dragons, ladies and gentlemen. What do you expect to be in their mind when they watch all that mess all the time? I'm surprised they don't have nightmares. I saw a picture in the cartoon thing in the paper today. Not a cartoon in the funny paper, but it was a political cartoon. Had one fellow there, I guess he was supposed to have been, I don't know, a hippie, or I don't know what he was. But he was trying to gobble up this old man that had a bush and chain his eye. I really don't know what they were meaning by it, really. But I know that that animal that was there getting ready to breathe out threatenings against that old man was satanic! Brother George, you remember the picture of the woman you gave me with all of the studs in her and whatever, piercings in her face, 1900 piercings in her face. I forgot about that thing and opened it up at my Bible up at the house last night, and it honestly shocked me. I said, I'm getting rid of that mess, buddy, in the trash. It's out of here. I never seen such a horrible looking mess in all of my life. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to know grace to have peace in your heart. Amen. That's right. Don't nobody leave me now. I'll get the message in a minute. Fill up our time with God. Spend time in church, radio marathons, revivals, mission conferences, camp meetings. Some of you sorry hound dogs are to get off your lazy hind end and go to a camp meeting with us. Oh, I can't get the time off. You can get time off to do everything else. You can get days off, go on fishing, preaching excursions, horseback riding, knife finding, gun shooting, deer hunting. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. We can go on vacations. Charge you nothing for that. I'd say we ought to keep God in our business life. We ought to keep God in our home life. Keep God in our church life. Keep God in our social life. Keep God in our private life. If we'll keep God in every aspect of our life, I'll guarantee you the grace of God that's reigning in our heart will produce a peace, my friend, that passeth all understanding. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're enjoying it, but I am. I won't say peace and sin will not live together. When Samson slew that lion, what came out of it? Honey. I'll tell you, if we'll start slaying a few lions in our life, peace will come out of it. Amen! If you'll slay some sin, slay some lions in your life. But in our guarantee, in the carcass of that lion, you'll find a peace of God that will bless you and help you and strengthen you in your life. They cannot live together. Sin in your life will and peace will butt heads, and it will cause nothing but friction in your life and frustration in your life. Amen, amen. I won't mention five things and I'm done. Grace. He said grace and peace. The power of grace. God help you. You know, it's like, I'm telling you, there's a power in the grace of God. Marvelous as it is. I wrote this down. I said there's power in the grace of God. It removes the barriers of sin that kept God from the sinner and the sinner from God. Did you get a hold of that? It'll tear down those barriers. I'm telling you that sin stands as a barrier between man and God. And with all that you strive and try and labor to do, as long as the sin problem has not been dealt with, you cannot get to God. I've had sinners to get on the altar and tell me, I'm trying to get saved, preacher. I'm trying to get a hold of God, but I can't get there. There's just something there. I'm going to tell you what it is. It is a barrier in your life called sin that's there. And until that sin is dealt with, you cannot get to God. Amen. Listen to what Brother Paul said in the book of Thessalonians, in the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 14. He said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and contrary to us, and took it out of the way. What done that? Grace. Blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. Took it out of the way. Broke down that barrier. Broke down that wall. Oh, how powerful sin is, that it can overcome sin in a man's life and overwhelm the heart of a man and birth him into the family of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Grace is an overcomer and an overwhelmer. Amen. Woo! None of you will say something, I'll say it myself. Hallelujah, Brother Hall. That's good preaching. Glory to God. And I know it is. I know that's right. He said he's nailing it to his cross and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I tell you, I don't know about that he's making a show of them. The only thing I fear at what Paul's saying there is he revealed them. He made them manifest. Those principalities and those powers. The power of sin. Principalities is referred probably to angelic beings, no doubt probably talking about Lucifer. The son of the morning. Oh, the bride. Oh, yes, that son of the morning. Lucifer. God said he nailed that to the cross and took it out of the way. And he done that by grace, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody took him to the cross. He went there because he loved you. And hey, and he made a show of them. He manifests them. You get a good look at the cross, you won't have any problem understanding what sin is. It was sin that nailed my Lord to Calvary. And love that held him there. Your sin, my sin. I want you to get a hold of this, and this is not even on the thought, but I want to run it by you. Preacher's telling me about the passion play. Some guy asked me the other day, said, you've been to it? I said, no, don't intend to go to it. Anybody ever got saved watching a movie from Hollywood? Get saved from preaching the gospel. But I come across something, getting ready for this message, Brother James, it was astounding. They had an argument going about whether the Jews, they said, they're talking about the Jews are the ones that crucified the Lord. I got thinking about that and I thought, well, the Jews did. The Jews did deliver him up. But I read in there just back before last where it said the Jews delivered him into the hands of the Gentiles. And it was the Jews that delivered him up, but it was the Gentiles that done the dirty work. And so brother Jew and Gentile alike have the blood of Christ on their hands. We're all guilty. Get a hold of that. We're all guilty, friend. Jew and Gentile alike. Sin put him there. Sin put him there. Hallelujah. Nailed him to the cross. But in nailing him to the cross, he said he took that out of the way and removed it. And the power of grace broke down that barrier to where a sinner can come to God and be saved. Now, y'all listen carefully. I want to say, number two, not only does it remove these barriers, but it reconciles the sinner unto God. Grace does. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Reconciling. Mediator, the in-between man. Do you realize that a sinner tonight is at enmity with God? You can believe that or not, lady, I'm telling you, but a sinner is at enmity with God. That is, he is an enemy of God. But God was in Christ reconciled, bringing sinner and man together and reconciling them. In other words, there was a peace treaty signed that day. And I thought about this. Y'all know how I feel. I'm not an Armenian. But I'm not a 5-point hyper-Calvinist either. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. My forefathers were Anabaptists, Waldenses, Paulicians, Huguenots. That's my forefathers. But I want you to hear what I'm saying. That crowd that tells me that he only died for a select few, what are you going to do about that verse of Scripture I just read? That verse said reconciling the world, ladies and gentlemen. W-O-R-L-D, the world unto himself. Trying to bring men to God. Sinner and God together. As old Brother Mays Jackson used to say, Jesus reached up from the cross with one hand and got a hold of the hand of the Father, and down to earth with the other hand got a hold of the sinner. And there on the cross they shook hands and were reconciled. And peace was made. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. I've got a thought on that down there somewhere, and I think I can get to it, but it's in another part here. Then that same grace, it reconciles and removes the barriers. It refines a Christian like a fiery furnace refines silver. Listen to what Malachi said in Malachi 3:3. And he shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as God, as gold and silver. And they may offer unto the Lord offerings in righteousness. Come on in here. I want to say grace is a fire like that fire that burned in that bush that Moses saw and wasn't consumed. Amen. That's what that little bush is. That little bush is a type of a sinner. And that fire is the fire of God, the grace of God that is in that sinner, purifying that sinner. It'll not consume the sinner, but it will consume the dross. I want to say in here tonight, if God has never begun to purify you, you are a lost man and woman. He'll burn the dross out of your life. The sin out of your life. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there's more sin in the world than adultery, gentlemen. And drinking liquor, gentlemen. There's a whole lot of little sins in the world, them little foxes. Are you listening? But that grace, hey, it doesn't just burn up the big sins and leave the little sins. It'll burn off. Getting ready to name a few of them. I believe I wrote them down here. It'll burn up everything that is unholy. That includes your stinking rotten attitude. Everything that is unholy. Everything that is unhealthy. There's things in our life that's unhealthy for a Christian. You young people back there, don't quit talking. I'm going to set you on the front seat. There's things in our life that's unhealthy. Boy, it got quiet now, didn't it? That grace will consume. Now, don't you mommies and daddies turn me off or I'll say something to you. We're going to dig and dung a little bit around the heart and that soul. Are you listening to me? Amen to God. It'll burn up selfishness. I want to say this tonight, and I don't believe I've ever seen it in this light or thought about it in this light, but there could not have been one ounce of selfishness in Christ when He died. And likewise, grace will burn the selfishness out of us. It'll not always be me-ism and I-ism, friend. It'll be laboring for Christ and doing for others. It'll be charity, love in action, charity reaching out to other people. Amen. I know that's right, Brother James. Thank you for saying amen to it. Pride. We're pretty proud people. Pride goes before destruction, the haughty spirit before a fall. Amen. He will burn it. Hey, He is able to make us yield, to burn up all of that which is unholy and make us yield the ninefold cluster of fruit of the Spirit of God. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against us there is no law. I preached on fruit this morning. Are you listening to me? But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God will burn up that which hinders us from producing that fruit and will cultivate us until there is love, joy, and peace in our life. Peace. There's that love and there's that peace that is ruling and reigning in our heart. What a loving God we have. Amen. That'll do that for us. Then I want to say not only the power of grace, and I don't have that 4 or 5 points, just stay with me. The passport of God's grace. The passport. You know what a passport is? It gets you into other countries. It gets you into places that you're really not the resident of. And I thought about how the passport of God's grace gives us authority to enter into the King's treasure house. What a treasure He's got, ladies and gentlemen. It's grace! We're standing in grace tonight. Are you listening to me? We're standing in grace tonight. And that grace is like a passport that gives us access into the treasury of God Almighty. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, ladies and gentlemen. He's got a treasure house that is full. His coffers are full tonight. And we're as spiritually weak as we have ever been in the church age. Hallelujah. Passport into that. Bible says in Colossians 3:3. That in whom, talking about Christ, in whom is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want a little wisdom? Ask of God. Give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And wisdom, by the way, comes from God. It can only come from God. There is a worldly wisdom that is sensual, but real wisdom comes from God. It's heavenly. You can get all kinds of knowledge. You can read books and get knowledge. You can read Playboy and have knowledge about Playboy. You can read the newspaper and get some knowledge about what's going on in the world. But if you want knowledge about Him, you're going to have to get in that book right there. Or hold some books about Him. God help us. That's right. And we've got a passport. Grace, ladies and gentlemen, will lead us into all 66 books of the Bible. To all the promises in the 66 books. To all the blessings that are ours in those 66 books. It would amaze you if you just sought out the blessings that we have in those 66 books in the Bible. I can read you 8 in Matthew chapter 5 in the first 9 verses. And why do we waste our time on other things when we have got a passport? And by the way, they don't frisk you down either. I was telling somebody the other day, I forget who it was, but I mean, some of these ladies in this room, I've told you the story. We came back from Mexico. We had to have special papers to get in. And on our way back out, we was driving our church van, had Island Ford Baptist Church across the sides of it. They stopped at a checkpoint, Charlie. Them fellas had real guns, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, them that carry real lead out the end of them. And the fella popped off something to me, and he said, "Where have you been?" I know exactly what he said. I said, "I don't know what you're saying." He said, "Where are you going?" I know exactly what he said. I said, "I don't know what you're saying." Said something else. I said, "I don't know what you're saying." So he said, "They always do this. Be just a minute." So we went over and got this other fellow. Another fellow came over and he rapped off something in Spanish. "Where you been?" I don't know. I don't understand what you're saying. He said, do you speak English? He did. I said, sure do. He said, where have you been? I said, Monterey. What have you been doing down there? Preaching? I said, I've been preaching. He took a stick that he had and he started walking down our van and started hitting on the sides of it. That stick. Boom, boom. And the other fellow standing there with them guns. He walked back up to the front, opened the door, and told me, he said, get out. And I got out of that van and stood there beside of it. And this other fellow's hitting around on that van. The man walked up and got right in my face. And if you know anything about Mexicans, there is not much humor in Mexicans. They're all pretty sober people. He yelled right up my face, Brother James, and he said, you're a Christian. I said, sure am. He said, quote Psalm 23. I said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not walk.
Amen.
Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside still water. He restored my soul. Amen. He leadeth me a path of righteousness. He said, that's enough. And I said, oh, no, buddy, you're getting a whole load of her. You ask for it, I'm going to give you all of it.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, I stood there and preached Psalm 23 to that fellow. He was looking for dope, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, I had a passport to get in there, but it still gave them authority to search me. What a thought, God. Hey, but I'm glad that God will examine us on that side of the cross, that there will be no examinations over there. You're going to heaven without any examination when you get there. There'll be a judgment seat, I know that. That passport to God's way into His treasure house. Then I want to mention the peace for just a minute. I thought about how our peace is purchased. Everybody listen, I'm about done. Listen carefully, kiddies. Listen. Purchase peace. Colossians 1:20 said, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. Here's what I wanted to get at a minute ago, what came to my mind earlier. The meaning of the word peace is suggestive, and it signifies that which binds together. Are you listening? Peace binds together. When peace is made, it binds people together. I could illustrate that worldly speaking. When Japan made peace with us, they have been an ally ever since. When Germany made peace with us, they've been an ally ever since. By the way, to bring peace, it takes one stronger than the other one. One's got to overpower the other one. And there's got to be a white flag of surrender. And I'll tell you, it's got to be an unconditional surrender, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Stay right with me. Sin had severed man from God, and God in justice must punish sin. So Christ is our mediator. Christ, our mediator, has the power to meet our liabilities and to bear our penalties. Glory if you can get a hold of that. He bears our liabilities. I have nothing to offer God. I have no liabilities. If you ever went to borrow money and they say, what kind of liabilities you got? Well, I own my home, I own this, I own that, I own that. They look at your liabilities and see if there's enough liabilities for you to borrow the money on. See if whether you have more than you owe or you owe more than what you own. Right. I'm going to tell you something. I have no liabilities when it comes to that, to spiritual matters. I had nothing. In my hand, no price I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. I had nothing! And you have nothing! But Christ bears our liabilities. All that we are not, He is. He's my righteousness. He's my sanctification. He's my holiness. Everything that I'm not, He is. Hallelujah. And something else, He bore all our penalties as well. Praise His name. I feel like running my head through a wall tonight, brother. All the penalties. The divine justice of God said, you're guilty! Amen. He weighed me in the balance and sin was heavier than me.
Amen.
And He said, you're guilty.
Amen.
But Jesus stepped in and justified me. Oh, I'm justified tonight. I am justified tonight. Because He bore, whatever word you want to use, my penalty on the cross. When He picked up that cross, nailed the sins we just read, nailed to the cross. He carried that cross bearing your sins all the way up the hill. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can believe you or not, it doesn't matter to me. I believe I'm proven through the Bible. But our sins were laid on Him, not on Calvary, but in Gethsemane. They always laid the sin, the hands are represented the sin on the sacrifice, before the sacrifice ever died. God laid our sins on Him in Gethsemane. That's the cup that He didn't want to bear, not death. His soul being made. Nailed our sins to that cross and removing them out of the way. They're gone. God help us tonight. We act like where we are, we're not acting. We're dead. And our sins are gone. We're gone to glory. The old account was settled long ago. God, we ought to be shouting it out. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. So the purchase of peace. Then I thought about our protecting peace. Get this. Grace and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, get this now, shall keep, shall hold, shall sanctify, shall guard, shall protect your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Peace comes to those who are not anxious for anything. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Peace comes to those who are prayerful in everything. Peace comes to those who are thankful for all things. Oh, how can I thank God for this disease in my body? Thank Him, He's allowed you to bear it. How can I thank God for this sickness I'm having? Thank Him for it. How can I thank God for this financial rebirth in my life? Thank Him for it. He's allowed it to be there. You're His. I mean, yes, you're His, child. Thank Him for it. He knows what's best for you and what's best for me. And He'll provide that for us, church. I want you to get a hold of that tonight. God will provide what is best for you. And He'll give you peace if you'll be anxious for nothing in your life. Be careful for nothing. Be prayerful in everything. Be thankful in all things or anything that comes to your life. I want to say the peace of God will keep the heart from fear. It says in the last days that men's hearts, how's it go? Will fail them because of fear. He'll keep that heart from fear. He'll keep your mind from doubt. He'll keep your thoughts from wandering. He'll keep your imagination from impurity. Peace will. Peace of God that passes all understanding. Somebody said, my mind wanders all the time. Because the peace of God's not reigning there and ruling there. I've got doubts and I've got fears all the time. You'd be amazed at the people that fear death. And the reason they fear death is because they doubt what God's done for them. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I want everybody to listen to me. If you've ever doubted that you've believed, you're pretty normal. But if you've ever doubted that He died for you, you're pretty abnormal. I've never doubted the fact that Christ died in my place. But I've thought a few times, I've had to scratch my head, I've looked at my own heart and said, my God, how can God love me and me like I am? And I'll tell you, that perfect peace, keep our hearts and minds, those minds from impurities and our hearts from doubting. Holy God, we have, I'm telling you, it's wonderful. It is wonderful. Then I'm closing with this and I'm done. Our peace is also personified. I hope that don't fly too high over everybody or under you on the floor. I hope it didn't just roll off you and drop. Personified means it comes from a person. Now get a hold of what I'm getting ready to read. Ephesians 2:14 said, "For He is our peace." It's not merely what we receive when we got saved, but whom we receive. Christ is our peace. And we possess Him. Salvation is possessing a person, not a plan. I've heard him say, "Amen." What about God's plan, Romans Road? I don't worry too much about Romans Road. It's Romans Expressway that bothers me. But do you possess Him? You possess peace. Peace is in Him. It's not even of you, it's of Him. These kids is whining a lot tonight. That one right there, I'm fixing the bus. Hey, turn around here, monkey. Come on. You want to preach a while? We don't believe in women preachers around here. But look here. When Y2K was going down, everybody running around, I can tell you preachers. There's one right up the road from Brother Brown, his whole church. They dug up their yards and planted 500,000 gallon fuel tanks. They took PCV pipes and buried them and put guns in them and this and that in them. They went out, one church in Greenville, South Carolina, went out and bought a whole semi-truckload of wood-burning stoves for their church so they'd have stoves to cook food on. And I walked over to our house and looked at that. They said, "You better turn your panel box off or it may throw everything out of kelter." I looked at that panel box and I said, "If it throws it out of kelter and burns up everything in the house, God, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord." I went in and sat down, and when 12 o'clock and that clock struck the last 12, the lights were still burning. And I still had the same piece I had before 12 o'clock. And I didn't spend thousands of dollars on wood-burning stoves and kerosene, diesel fuel, and lighter fluid and bury it in the ground like an idiot. And I still look like a Christian that believes God, and that crowd looks like a bunch of unbelievers that put their faith in what they could do and rather than what God could do. I won't charge you a thing for that. We possess peace. Let's not get uptight about what's going on around us. About the election, I know, and I said it myself. If the wrong man wins that election, we're down the drain. But at the same time, we might be down the drain, but he's still on the throne. And it still sits right there in the heart. It's him, ladies and gentlemen. He is our peace. He calms the storm. He'll silence the wind and cause the wave. I read in the paper over there, they're talking about 25-foot surges, or 18-foot, 18-foot surges coming into one of those islands. 18-foot highway. And they said people feared more in that storm than ever in the history. I'm going to tell you, we got people today that's fearing spiritual storms more than Christ people all down through the ages have ever feared. But there's no need. Christ is our grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have peace tonight, you have grace. If you've been saved, you have grace. If you have grace, you have peace. If you have no peace, you may not have any grace. Let's stand. Our Father, I'm thankful for the privilege of preaching tonight. Thank you, Lord, for just slowing us down, letting the rain fall, steadily fall. That's what we need on our soil, on our hearts tonight, Lord, that steady rain from God. and occasionally breaking up the fallow ground, drawing that soil to our heart. Then, Lord, we need sunshine as well to make us grow. We need sunny days, and we need rainy days. And Lord, we need work and labor in our own heart. I thank you for thy people tonight being here and visitors as well. Father, I'd ask you tonight if there's someone here that's never been saved. They've never trusted thee. They've never knelt at an old-fashioned altar and received Christ into their heart. They don't know what grace is. Their life's in a turmoil. They have no peace. I pray tonight, Lord, to deliver them, to save them. Pray, Father, for thy people, to give us revival. Revive me. Help to revive my preaching. Revive my prayer time. Revive my worship, my praise for thee. Have your divine will and way in every heart tonight. Help us to yield to thee, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What? Page 304 in your song book, Have Thine Own Way, I believe it is. Let's sing tonight. The Lord's spoken to your heart and you need to come tonight. You come right on while these are praying. Make your way to an old-fashioned altar tonight. Is there grace in your heart that brings the peace of God? Let's sing with joy. Let God have His way tonight, will you? In the services, some of you are covering up and some of you are fanning. And I want to try to keep it as comfortable for everybody as I can in here. I don't know really how to do that. I was burning up this morning. Brother Woodard said he was froze. And I felt like I was on fire. I hope I'm not having hot flashes or anything like that. But I appreciate you being here tonight in the service. And I thank the Lord done just a little digging and dunging today. I preached this morning. I believe He did. Appreciate our families being with us, the Rickards and the Burnsides being here tonight. I want to shake their hand, tell them you appreciate them being with us. And do pray for little Jonathan on tomorrow, okay? And Lord willing, by God's grace, we'll see you on Tuesday. Oh, no, we'll see you. We got to see you right now. You folks can, that are here, let's let them just say goodbye to these folks just for a minute. Just take a couple minutes, say goodbye to our visitors, and then we'll have our meeting.